Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
Nearly three times the legal limit for driving. Evidently, he was finally making his way to the door, and this from the criminal complaint, the bride punched him in the head.
Good for her.
So finger guy had surgery. Don't know if reattachment was successful, but we do know Nate has now been convicted. Pleaded no contest this week to charges of battery and disorderly conduct.
Does he send a thank you note?
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
I said this major company will release earnings today.
You're going to hear this sound and you know exactly what we're talking about, right? What is that? It's a Harley Davidson, of course. Right? Iconic. The sounds, sometimes the smells. You hear it and you just know it. You know we're talking about Harley Davidson, Milwaukee's motorcycle maker, right? Everyone loves a Harley. However, not everyone is buying a Harley still.
So the dealers are in the situation where the riding season is ending and they have all these bikes on their lots and they have to pay floor plan financing to, you know, for this inventory. So they're going to have to discount to try to get people to buy.
That's the Milwaukee Business Journal senior reporter there, Rich Kirchen, on WTMJ's The Upswing. So they have all these extra bikes. What's the deal?
There's a number of factors causing sales to decline. One was a lot of people bought motorcycles during the pandemic shutdown and the period around there. Interest rates are a concern if you're financing your purchase. Economic concerns.
So what happens today and why is this in the news? Obviously, we've known for years that Harley's trying to adjust and figure things out. Well, today we have our Q3 numbers coming out for Harley for 2024. And it doesn't look good, says Rich.
Last quarter, it was sort of surprising how strong their sales were. And that's because they were still shipping bikes to dealers. Yeah. They record that as a sale. I think I would be looking for a double-digit percentage decrease in their sales and shipments. And the company has said their profits are going to be under pressure for the short term.
Yeah, so he's thinking maybe even a double-digit loss in sales. Shares of Harley already fell. They closed down more than 1% on Wednesday, perhaps in anticipation of what could happen today. But keeping an eye on the Harley stock and, of course, the Q3 numbers when they're released later this morning.
It's difficult because it's a publicly traded company, so companies who are publicly traded need to grow.
Right.
So you can still be a very profitable company. If you're not growing, that hurts you in the public sector, you know, for people who buy, sell, and trade, right? Mm-hmm. But I haven't looked at, you know, it'd be interesting to see, like, are they still profitable, right? They could still be making money, but right, yet not growing. So from a Wall Street perspective, that's not good. But from a, you know, like, we're making something or we're making money. Is that enough? And is that what the future of Harley Davidson looks like?
And then what about the dealers? I mean, if they're paying because they have all these bikes that they were shipped that they have no place to put or sell, I mean, how is it on their end too?
Different model looking forward. Do the dealerships, and they do such a great job on these annual homecomings and whatnot.
Awesome. It's a huge party.
Is their profit center now event driven? We're putting on shows. We're doing things that bring people in here. We sell clothing and gear, but we can't expect to sell the same number of bikes that we did perhaps back in the day. 614 Sports coming up next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Philly isn't in the Eastern time zone. Philly's on Dame time.
Back to Dame. Dame, long bomb. Yes, sir. Damian Lillard buries one from about 30 feet away.
Yeah, logo three there.
Here's a three-pointer from Lillard, and he strikes again. His assault continues from three-point range. Dame now sitting with 29 points on his sixth made three-pointer tonight. 92-73.
The Bucks would lead by as many as 22 as they beat up the Sixers in the opening game of the season, the final 124-109. Lillard had 30. Giannis, by the way, 25 points, 14 rebounds.
Giannis give and go with Prince, takes it inside and thumps it down with a big two-hand jam.
Yeah, the newest Buck there, Torian Prince and Bobby Portis, both with 16 points apiece. Now, we should point out,
Philly was without Joel Embiid and Paul George, so some of their superstars did not play, but who cares? A win's a win. Bucks head to Milwaukee for the home opener tomorrow night, hosting the Chicago Bulls at Fiserv Forum. A lot of talk, Vince, lately about the surging popularity of the WNBA. Just finished its season this past week. Well, could Milwaukee get into the mix? The Sports Business Journal is reporting that Bucks ownership is interested in a WNBA team. They have submitted a proposal for a new franchise. Now, the league is considering proposals from a lot of cities, not just Milwaukee. There's like half a dozen, if not more, cities also interested in this. And why would that be? Well, it's never been more popular than right now, that league. So the iron is hot. That's why everyone's trying to strike.
When their season runs generally opposite to the men's season. So, you know, think of how often Fiserv Forum is dark.
Right.
Got a lot of stuff there, and they're doing a good job, and we got concerts, and Marquette plays there, of course, but there are also a lot of nights where it's dark.
That's right.
And if they can get something else in there that people will go to and love,
what do you call the name? The Does? You wouldn't call them the Does.
There was a Milwaukee Does. It had a season for a couple of years.
Oh, what, early 80s?
Late 70s, early 80s,
yeah,
exactly.
Like it was like 1.5 years, something like that.
Like, let's come up with something new. It does not have to be Bucks related. It's like true. It can be its own thing. Little over a week after Aaron Rodgers fired him, the Jets fired him, Packers head coach Matt LaFleur brought former Jets head coach Robert Saleh to Green Bay.
Again, he's one of my closest friends. And so we immediately talked and, you know, I didn't try to put any pressure on him whatsoever. I just said, hey, if you want to stay involved or whatever, the opportunity would be here if you wanted it.
But opportunity to do what exactly? LaFleur saying Saleh, whose strength is defense, right, will be in Green Bay today as well, and then it looks like that's it for this short stint, helping the Packers' offense.
Give us perspective on how teams might see us, how they might defend us. Certainly can find holes and or some vulnerabilities, if you will, in the defense that we're playing. So, yeah, that's how we're going
to
use him.
LaFleur reiterating he's not there to replace or even work with new defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley on that side of the ball. So he's going to be talking to the offense. These two 40-somethings have been friends for 20 years. LaFleur reportedly the best man in Saleh's wedding years ago. So it doesn't appear at this point that this is a long-term thing. Packers and Jaguars in Jacksonville on Sunday. Thursday night football tonight. Vikings coming off their first loss of the season Sunday. They play the Rams in Los Angeles at 7:15. And the Badgers volleyball on the air tonight. We got Bucky on the road playing Indiana. Match starts at 6 p.m. Pregame show at 5:30 right here on WTMJ.
You ever play any of those old video games or old computer games years ago where you could like have conversations with random characters in the game? You could say like, hello, ask name. And it would be like, my name is, you know, Wicked the Wizard. And
then okay, you could, good for you, Wicked.
Yeah, right, and you could ask maybe two or three questions tops. Otherwise, it would give you a standard line of, I don't know anything about that. Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because the technology was only such that you could get
there's certain
those
prompters where you could get a reaction oftentimes. Or I would say, yeah, I'm not sure. Have a good day. Or I would try to like lead you away from this whatever person you were talking to. Well, that has all changed now. With AI and these chatbots, virtually anything is possible.
I could never imagine that it was a AI chatbot that has these very human-like qualities, that is able to respond and mimic human emotion.
That is Megan Garcia. She is a mother from Florida. She's issuing a stark warning to parents after she says an AI chatbot drove her 14-year-old son to suicide earlier this year. She's now filed a lawsuit. Her son took his life after creating a relationship with a chatbot.
Megan Garcia says her 14-year-old son, Sewell, had developed a relationship with a chatbot based on the Game of Thrones character Daenerys Targaryen. According to court documents, Sewell and the chatbot engaged in sexual conversation. The lawsuit claims the bot then asked if the teen had a plan to die by suicide. And when Sewell questioned whether it would work, the bot wrote, "Don't talk that way. That's not a good reason not to go through with it."
That's not a good reason not to go through with it is what this chatbot, which he had created in his brain to be this woman from, it's basically the dragon lady,
the dragon queen,
Game of Thrones, yeah, and took his life, grabbed his dad's gun and took his life. Now, a couple of things. Don't forget, it's a 14-year-old kid. Like, oftentimes it's so easy to say, well, you got to know better. Well, Brains are a lot different when you're 14. It's a developing brain. So just remember that, just a 14-year-old kid. But also, like, what are these chat AIs? Like, what is this character AI? Like, there's a lot of questions as to what, why are you even talking to this thing? Well, what is this exactly?
Yes, and unprompted, why does this AI bring up all out of nowhere suicide?
Well, it's because you are creating the character. I was looking this up. Reddit has a lot of explanations as to what these chatbots are. And, like, some of them are pretty, they're pretty incredible, for lack of a better term, as far as what you can develop with them. People use them because they like the reasoning varies for each individual. But this one Redditor says, I use them for escapism and because it's fun immersing myself into a story and interact with characters I enjoy from whatever game, book, TV show, cartoon that I'm reading. It's one of those ways to actually include yourself into one of your favorite TV shows because you can actually create a character or a celebrity or a movie person or whatever and actually communicate with them and then become part of their life and have them become part of yours via typing on a keyboard.
So I get to sit down and talk to Batman.
Yes.
And then Batman gives me advice.
Exactly.
I'm getting bullied at school. What would you do, Batman?
Yes.
And then
absolutely.
Batman tells me in the Batman yes. character.
And just like anything else, like Spotify gives you a playlist that it creates out of thin air after it hears what you're listening to, this bot will form to what exactly you want it to be. Some people that lack the people social skills finally have an outlet to talking to something or someone. Some people like to just bully Batman, maybe, and feel good about themselves.
Yeah, push
seriously,
Batman
yeah,
around.
Right. Some people like to pretend they're in their favorite movies or games and insert themselves. In this case, this kid fell in love with the Dragon Queen. And she basically told him, yeah, you should do this. Now, obviously, he prompted some of that himself. It wasn't all just on this chatbot, but it created its variation of itself from his conversation. She says she remembers seeing some of the messages.
And she says, yes, please just come home to me. And he said, what if I told you that I could come home right now? And she said, please do my sweet king.
Please come home. And his version of coming home was right. to grab his
and
dad's
that's how
gun.
That got in the conversation. Well, and terrible as that is, the legal question is a separate thing. Is the entity that created this somehow legally responsible for
right.
this outcome?
And they are now trying to figure out how they can introduce some safety measures, says Character AI. The company says it's heartbroken that this has happened. What changes could be made? How can you fix that? How can you protect people? It's just one of those things. You have to be paying attention, especially with these younger developing brains. They don't think the same as you and me. And reminder, by the way, even the younger kids won't know the difference. Because there won't be a difference. They'll be growing up with this AI chatbot mentality stuff that we never had when we were that age.
I'm always worried about people talking to, you know, your kids talking to strangers online. This is the same thing, if maybe
right.
not worse.
Mm-hmm.
So, E, when the bride punched a wedding guest, and that's not the headline.
One can only imagine
that. Actually, worse stuff played out. Mm. Update on this story. This has actually been around for a while. The incident happened in 2023, almost a year ago. Remember that guy that bit another guy's finger off at a wedding in Oconomowoc?
Oh, they got in a
we
fight.
We did that story. Yeah,
yes.
There was a fight, right? He's been convicted now. Sentencing set for later this year. November of last year, 22-year-old guy got hammered at a wedding. Apparently got a little too friendly with one of the female wedding guests, accused of inappropriate touching. Gets loud when some other guests try to step in and like, hey, man. Like, what's going on here?
Ah, right. Got defensive and
yes,
argumentative.
Right.
Okay.
Manager for the venue tries to get the guy off into a side room. Let's settle you down.
Cool
Let's
down.
Talk about this. Bride and groom are now in the room trying to talk this guy down. Must have been a good friend. Like
for them
one
to,
or the other or both. Right.
right.
Otherwise, it's just like if it's some rando, you know, somebody
get him out of here.
Yeah, exactly. So they're involved at this point. Things escalate from there. Waukesha Freeman is reporting details of the criminal complaint at the time. The guy's name is Nathan Lancey. Nate is now in the side room at the venue, still loud, won't calm down. Father of the groom is now in. He's trying to shut it down. Nate lunges at him, father of the groom.
Oh, come on, man.
So now reinforcements come. Other wedding guests, event staff, they're trying to throw this guy out. I mentioned someone lost a finger. Complaint as quoted in the Freeman. Victim A statement said Lancey was running his mouth to the venue manager and it escalated into fisticuffs. Got behind Lancey in an attempt to control him, and he grabbed him around his head. Lancey turned toward him, and his hand got into Lancey's mouth, and he bit down, the complaint said.
Oh.
It appeared a half inch of the finger had been bitten off, the bone inside the finger exposed.
Oh, no, no.
Complaint further said that Nate Lancey had a BAC, blood alcohol level of 0.210, nearly three times the legal limit for driving. Evidently, he was finally making his way to the door, and this from the criminal complaint, the bride punched him in the head.
Good for her.
So finger guy had surgery. Don't know if reattachment was successful, but we do know Nate has now been convicted. Pleaded no contest this week to charges of battery and disorderly conduct.
Does he send a thank you note?
You mean
the groom? Does he send a thank you note to his buddy?
Whatever gift Nate brought.
Right, yes.
Hey, we received the place setting. We're really, thank you. It was very kind and generous of you. Right.
Appreciate your friendship.
I think perhaps not. 6:39 in Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time to recognize another everyday hero on Wisconsin's Morning News. We define an everyday hero as an average John or Jane Doe or an average John or Jane Fido who had no idea when they got up one morning that they'd be saving a life.
Is this another animal hero today?
Well, we'll see. Everyday Hero, sponsored by Azura Memory Care and Assisted Living, transforming the culture of care, Azura Memory Care. Stevens County, Washington State. Keith Johnson, 84 years old. He's got a cabin up there in the woods. So think like Northwoods, Wisconsin.
Sure, yeah.
It's essentially that type of beautiful nature, beautiful land, that part of the country. So he walks out of the house with his dog, Gita. Gita needs to use the restroom. It's early. It's like 5:30 in the morning. Sun is just coming up, and he trips over a root. He's 84 years old. He's a widower. Trips and breaks his hip.
Oh.
And he's down.
Yeah.
He is down. He's not moving. He tells Inside Edition.
She came and lay down really close to me, and I cuddled with her and asked her, please, to go get some help.
Yeah. He tells Gita, hey, go try to see if you can find someone. I can't move. So Gita runs off. She runs all the way down the long driveway to the road. It's like a quarter of a mile. It's not like, you know, right next to the state highway. She gets to the road and she lays on the street, right there on the road, doesn't move. Deputy Colton Wright just so happened to be patrolling the county highway in the woods that day when he spots Gita in the road.
I got out of my truck. She stood up, looked at me, looked back at the driveway, and then looked at me kind of as if like a hey, come with me. And then she took off running up the driveway.
So the dog runs this sheriff's deputy up to her human, who was not able to move. The driveway, a quarter of a mile long, very hidden in the woods. There's no way he would have even seen it. He would have driven right past this stretch.
Well, you got a pretty good dog, I'll tell you that. Or your dog was down by the road, got my attention, got me up here.
Thank you. She's my best friend.
He's my best friend.
Yeah.
That's the body cam video, obviously. The deputy says when he first saw the dog, he was trying to get her in his squad. He figured I'd get her in the squad and figure out who the owner is. She wouldn't do it. If she had gotten in that car, never would have found him.
Your dog's a hero today, man.
And she led you right back up here.
She led me right to you.
She knew that she had to go down to there to find a person. She knew what she was doing.
Yeah, she did. That is a good old girl there, Gita. Thank you for being an everyday pup hero. Everyday Hero is sponsored by Azura Memory Care and Assisted Living, transforming the culture of care.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Giannis Dame 2.0, you could call it. And it looks good after one game.
The handoff, he gets it to Lillard, right back to Giannis. Giannis has a couple of defenders converged, but they can't stop him. Good two-man game there. We've been waiting to see that. That Dame-Giannis two-man game, and Giannis exploits the defense down low on the feed from Dame.
Yes, this is what we came to want last year. This year, they believe it's really going to happen with these two. Lillard leads with 30 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. Giannis 25-14-7 as the Bucks beat up on the 76ers, 124-109. On Wednesday night, Philly didn't have Joel Embiid or Paul George, so you got to make sure you win that game, and they took care of it.
Well, Bucks, we didn't have Middleton, so like, you know, your guys, our guys, right.
Yes, yeah. Sure. Either way, dub's a dub. Bucks head to Milwaukee for the home opener tomorrow night. They host the Bulls at Fiserv Forum. There's been a lot of talk, of course, of the surging popularity of the WNBA of late. Had a great year as far as eyeballs on the TV screens and going to the games, thanks, of course, to Caitlin Clark and others. But now it's the league is... has really gotten a lot of attention. So could Milwaukee get into the mix? The Sports Business Journal reporting that Bucks ownership interested in a WNBA team. They've submitted a proposal. They're not the only city to do so. Philly, Miami, Kansas City, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, have all also done that. So at least we know that Milwaukee is interested in a WNBA team. No timeline, but you'd think, given the surging popularity, that they might try to strike while the iron is hot.
That time when your pal got fired at work and you give him a job. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur bringing in recently fired Jets head coach Robert Saleh to help the Packers this week.
We've been close for a really long time. We were roommates together back at Central Michigan, so we thought it was a good idea just to bring him here, and he's helping us on the offensive side of the ball. I think that's always a good deal to have that perspective, you know, that defensive perspective on that side of the ball. So
we thought it'd be a good idea. Now, I thought I could give my friend something to do this week.
You think his friend was like, hey, why didn't you tell me about Rodgers?
So LaFleur did say he's not here to work with the defense. These guys have been friends for 20 years.
Sure.
He's going to be working exclusively with the offense. He likes what's going on the defensive side of the ball. So he's not here to replace Jeff Hafley or anything like that. But I absolutely think one of the offers was, and then we'll crack some beers and you can cry about Aaron Rodgers and we can...
There. I understand.
We can talk about him together. We'll stay up all night. 6:49 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Remember Toby, the HR, the human resources guy from the office?
Toby is in HR, which technically means he works for corporate. So he's really not a part of our family.
He's branded by the office manager, Michael Scott, as the no fun police.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're being honest, sometimes HR gets that rap. Well, human resources management company called Stratus HR does have a timely blog. It's about the office Halloween party, which we have here at Good Karma Brands Milwaukee tonight.
That's
now,
right.
Ours is, I will note, kid friendly. You're supposed to bring your kids by for trick or treat. ESPN's Jen Latta in the house today. Have you done that before here for the company?
Brought my kids?
Yeah.
They love it. They want to go every year. Every year they ask me, when do we get to go to your work for Halloween?
Well, that makes me feel bad because you guys would be surprised to know I've not helped or assisted or been remotely interested in this.
Yes, but it's been a raging success. So you know what? Stay away.
Yes.
Okay. Well, so back to this HR firm that put this blog out. They have some recommendations for how to keep your workplace Halloween party classy. In fact, that's item number one on their top 10. Keep it classy. Avoid any outfits that are skin-bearing, risque, or gory.
So no sexy pizza.
No sexy nurse.
Sexy pizza.
You haven't seen that costume?
That was a thing one year.
I'm very interested in how that comes together.
Yeah, that didn't do it for
just
me.
Just a couple pieces of pepperoni or what? What are we talking about?
I'll send you
more
a
than
link.
A couple, I hope. Here's number two. Stay clear of tragic events and religious innuendo. You might be able to throw something, an outfit together, but it might offend others. Don't be offensive. Think outside your sense. I like this one. This one speaks directly to me. Think outside your sense of humor to consider whether or not your costume might offend someone.
That's tough.
I fall down always.
I'm not good
in the
at
comedy
that either,
circuit,
yes.
Right? Like what? Hilarious.
Yeah.
You idiot.
What else do we got there? No, don't wear plastic body parts? I'm not even sure what that means. I like those costumes that you've seen on Instagram where they teach you how to like make it look like you're headless, but you're carrying
yes.
your head. Like they put a hanger
right?
over a
mm-hmm.
dress or a shirt and your head looks like it's on a platter or something. Like those are great.
Yeah. Here's kids love those.
They do.
Consider your job. Even though it's Halloween, think about the message you're conveying if you're dressed as a pack of cigarettes while teaching school or informing a patient they have cancer while you're dressed as a clown. Think about what you do and make sure it's appropriate.
Does it feel like that doesn't apply to us? Because I haven't dressed like a grown-up in years at this job.
Which is entirely appropriate for your show.
Correct. Thank you. I guess I feel like I understand these parameters, but I also feel like there are allowances made for Halloween, right? Like, if I dress up as a clown on Halloween, is that some sort of representation of my actual person? Oh, don't answer that. Actually, let me come up with
statement
a different
withdrawn.
No, hold on.
I withdraw that statement, Your Honor. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's Halloween. The whole point is dress up, right?
That's
my
true.
Husband has gotten on my case because year in and year out, I dress like some version of a man. I have gone as Vince Lombardi. I have gone as Stewie from Family Guy. I have gone, you know, like gentleman characters as opposed to lady
but
characters.
But not sexy Vince Lombardi. Normal Vince Lombardi.
No, don't do it. You know what? Jeez. I have not decided on my costume this year. Just so asking. You know what, Eric? Nailed it.
Please no.
You know, that's not some representation of me. I don't want to be a dude. Perfectly happy being a lady, sure. You know? But like, anyway, the point is, I think, again, there should be allowances made for Halloween. You understand that it's make-believe. You understand that it's pretend. You know, I don't want to attach too much to it.
That's interesting, though, because one of the ones that we saw, one of the other HR ones, was, hey, don't be trying to dress gender, right? They didn't want you dressing like
gender as gender-bending dressing can be controversial, right, because now because it could be perceived as
making fun
mocking
of or mocking
those who are gender transitioning or whatnot.
Which is crazy, because if you are a giant Dolly Parton fan and you want to be Dolly Parton for Halloween, all of a sudden you have to worry about that potentially offending somebody if you're dressing as Dolly Parton. Like,
well,
again,
how are you dressing as Dolly Parton?
The
what
problem,
are you doing?
Guys, is that the spectrum is wide. So we're all just going to throw sheets on, cut some holes in it, and have a day.
Boo, I'm a ghost. How about this?
And you're a ghost, and you're a ghost, and he's a ghost, and she's a
Here's
ghost.
Here's one more for you. Number 10, don't dress up as your coworker. It may be funny to some, your coworker might not find it.
I
so
did that
humorous.
Last year.
You literally did that last year. Your boss, no less.
I dressed up as my boss.
I love it.
With gray hair, though. Made him gray because he's already stressed.
All right. Well, I can't wait to see what you come up with, Jen.
I don't know what I'm going to be for Halloween this year. Oh, I went as Dusty from Stranger Things one year. That was a
good one.
I went as Mike Gundy, the head coach at Oklahoma State with the mullet. I'm a man.
I'm 40.
Exactly. So anyway, I'll think of something.
We are going to make a do not mock list, okay? Anything that we think might be out of bounds, we put on this list.